Autobiography of an Ex-Colored Man by James Weldon Johnson. We're going to jump to the main section of chapter one, where our narrator, a young boy, is in school, and the teacher asks all the young white scholars to stand up, and he stands up along with them, only to be told to sit back down. It's in this moment that he realizes that he is not a white person. And while this might seem odd for a boy to self-identify one way and be unaware of his social standing, which, as we know in this period, is connected with race, it speaks to the fact that because he's a child of mixed race, he's never really thought about anything other than being part of the majority. We know this story published in 1912 at first, and then it was republished in 1927. We know that it carries a lot of heaviness for both our author and the reader who's going through this experience with our young narrator. As we consider what is happening, I know for this book, this is part of our snapshot series where we're looking at one author for one class period, focusing on really one chapter, and then going big picture for the remainder of the piece of work, that this text itself centers around this establishment that who this main character, who this boy believes he is, he quickly realizes that he's not. And with that becomes a complete loss of a sense of security and a sense of self that he has to reestablish in a very different scope. We know that the father was white and his mother is black. We know that his father was a person of privilege in this, particularly in the South, but also, as stated in the text, of someone of high importance in the country. And that he seems to be well off because of this relationship. But in this first chapter, the emotional drain that we get from a boy starting to realize, not gradually, but quickly and suddenly, that who he identified with, the kids that he thought were just like him, aren't the side of the equation that he is going to be on. And you see how he interacts with the other black students in the class. And there is a hint of racism in the main character's voice when talking about the character of Shiny while interacting with other students. The use of the N-word in this section is really important, and we're going to analyze it in class. We need to understand that it's weaponized throughout the text. But for the boy who at first thinks it's just a word being used kind of in an innocent manner, knowing it carries a negative connotation, but for him not really understanding the heaviness of it, to then have it flipped around when he's immediately, upon being told to sit down, identified with the N-word directed at him. The power of just the word itself speaks to the heartbreaking realization that we live in a country in this text and in real life where race is essential to how we see each other and how we relate to one another, particularly during this era. Things have improved drastically. But we have to put ourselves into this text to truly understand this moment. We can't apply our brains and our minds the way we see things right now and then say, well, there's a way to solve this. At this point in time, there isn't. And this is a life-altering realization, and it completely changes the way the boy is going to see himself and how he relates to others, which is going to feed into what his opportunities will be in life. It will feed into what he can do as far as who he can hang out with, where he can go. And also eats into like his self-awareness, self-esteem. We know, as we talked about in class and we'll continue to talk about, is this idea that for our narrator to move through life as a mixed race individual ultimately lends himself to this opportunity to act and pretend that he is fully white, which we see later in the novel after witnessing a lynching. He feels like for his safety, it is best to hide himself in whiteness. And we're going to talk about this end chapter, which I think does give us a good sense of what James Weldon Johnson was trying to do with this text. So I want us to consistently consider how we see ourselves in present day and pretend a little bit if you found out suddenly that you were not the things that you believed yourself to be. It could be very superficial. It could be deeper than that. But what would that do to your psyche? Now put yourself in a world where you are the other immediately upon realizing the situation now you find yourself in. What does that mean? We have to spend time on the emotional drain that this becomes on someone. We have to spend some time thinking about how someone's outlook would change if they went from thinking that they were part of the powerful class just based on race, which we can agree is a wrong way of looking at relationships and power, but is the reality of both this narrative and during this time period. And we need to think about the fact that that flip suddenly, not being born into it the way others were, not being raised to be protected or wary of it, what that does to someone, the sudden flip. And then later on, we look at the text, focusing in on the witnessing of the lynching, and then the idea that protection came through whiteness, or at least proving to be as white as possible to not be the other, the fear of the other. Can you get out of that bracket, which is considered the other, the non-white? We're going to consistently look at this in class regarding the emotional aspect. We'll look at how this can portray itself out both physically and emotionally, as well as sort of philosophically. How do we see ourselves in relationship to the world tends to be reflected back to us, even sometimes in ways we might not like. But we need to understand in this jarring scenario where the boy finds out that he is not who he has identified with, leads us as readers to kind of reflect upon what this would do to us in hopes to sort of have a better understanding of what this young character is going through.